Once again, welcome to this week's Living Torah. And yes, it's been a year since I said that. We're back on the air, and it's been an interesting year. I want to first of all say thank you to each one of you who, through this last year of my Shabbatical, which is a Hebraic form of a Shabbatical, sabbatical. Yeah, there you go. I can't even say the Greek word right, which is not a bad thing. But I've had the year off, and coming back to it, and I think I'm pretty refreshed. At least I feel like I am ready to go in the coming year, however long it is that we'll continue to do this. God willing, it's going to be some time. But first of all, thank you so much. That's what I was going to say. Thank you for all those people, all of you who have supported us in the last year, the last years. We're seeing already some new people that are coming on and supporting us. Now they're starting again. And so I really do appreciate that. We're going to be making a lot of changes in the weeks to come regarding our website and the video series and how we're doing that and the format. I'm trying to get back to a little bit. I know on the screen right now it's kind of small. And so I'm going to be looking at a number of different ways to put this out and be making some changes in the coming weeks. I was really hoping to do that in this previous week, but I got called out of town here last week. My mother ended up in the hospital with acute bronchitis, I think it was, and it was really, really doing bad. So I ended up going out of town last week, been in Florida all weekend, and just got back in last night. So long drive, and I'm up, and I think I'm going to be able to put two words together. I hope so. So we're going to move on with this, and today I'm going to actually just give an introduction to what we're going to be doing in the coming, the coming year. I don't know when. We're just going to start here next week. So I want to just give an introduction to that. And as I do, I want to tell you what this video series is not about. Though I may bring in some news items here and there from various places, we're not going to get into the political climate, the stupidity that's going on in that. We're not going to get it much into the world situation. I'll bring out things that are really relevant or things that I think are really important. But for the most part, you guys, many of you have computers. This is going out to a few people that do not. And so we're going to send that out via CD. But for those of you that have computers, you can go to Beast Watch News. You can go to all these different websites and you can keep up with the news. And so that's your responsibility to do so. So this is not going to be as much about news as I've had it even in the past years, which I had a little bit of a few minutes of news articles that were there. We're going to actually we're going to look more toward the scriptures. And if there's things that are going on that are relevant, especially in Israel, we're going to bring those out. One of the things, the one thing that I do want to bring out this week that is relevant is that you may have watched on the news this past week as there was some missiles that were launched from Gaza, I believe. And, you know, the scripture that says, "He who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps," and that he has a plan. And his plan is being played out just like he desires it to be on a daily basis. And once in a while, as that plan of his is being played out, he gives us some rather remarkable ways of seeing that and some faith builders for our day. I looked at the computer the other day as I was in Florida, and the news, this was right after Shabbat, and the news out of Arut Sheva, Israel National News Network, was about a synagogue in Ashdod. And I read this and tears came to my eyes. As it was just like the Almighty was saying, "Here I am again." If you didn't see the article or the news article or hear anything about it, there's a synagogue in Ashdod, which is fairly close. It's in rocket range, I guess, to Gaza. And this synagogue, they'd been meeting for 40 years for prayer services. They had never missed a single Shabbat prayer service in 40 years. Now, think back 40 years. That's back into the 70s, okay? This is when this synagogue began to have prayer, their prayer time, their Shabbat prayer meetings. So not a single service was missed in 40 years. But this past week, the man that had the key, the manager of the place, he went in for some surgery. And I guess just because they didn't think about it, nobody thought about getting a key from him so they could open it up. So they get there on that Shabbat morning, and the gates are closed, and no one can get in to the synagogue and to the courtyard. And it was last Shabbat that a rocket was fired from the Palestinians, and it landed in the courtyard, I believe it was. And it said that if the man had been there with the key, that gate would have been opened, and many people would have lost their lives. Now, some would call that coincidence. They're not listening to me today, the ones that would call that coincidence. I call that an absolute miracle. And the grace of the Almighty to protect His people. And it just, you know, you file things like that in your mind, because it should build our faith about the days that are ahead of us. So, with that, that's all the news we're going to talk about. You know, over the last, let's see, it was 2003. Like I said, this is going to be introduction today, so just bear with me as we go through it. We'll do a little teaching as we go. But I think it was sometime in 2003 that I began to write a Torah commentary and started to do a streaming video. Long time ago. A lot has happened since those days. And for 7 years, I went online, and we did a DVD at one time. I'm not going to be able to do that right away, maybe in the future. But I went online, and every week we opened with Shabbat Shalom, welcome to this week's Living Torah. Along the way, I added the shofar of Yaakov Rice as an opening, which is still going to be continued. Yaakov Rice, of course, is the he's the one that that makes it. Well, he doesn't make the shofars; he cleans them out and gets them where you can sound them. And he has the website shofarsrus.com. And of course, we added the blessing at the end with Lenny Harris, LennyandVarda.com. They've been so gracious through the years to just tell me whatever you need of our music. You don't even have to ask; just use it for whatever you'd like to use it for. No royalties or anything asked, and we don't have to sign contracts. And that's a really unusual thing in our day. So we added that, and went from 25 minutes to 30 minutes to 45, and somewhere along the way, somewhere an hour is where we've ended up, and probably going to stay that way. So I did that. Went through the Torah cycle for 7 years with some of you. Remember back all that way, and. Came to the end of the seventh cycle. Of course, seven is the number of completion. And said I just needed a year off. I needed some time. And I took that year off. It's been a year after the tornado and all that was going on in our lives. It was a year that I really needed just to do some things to get our house back to get us a house after the tornado. And so, of course, a move all the building that's been done this year that we've done, it's been very therapeutic for me. I'm a real hands-on kind of a person. And so being able to be out there, and I didn't even smash my fingernail too often, but we got most of that done here in time, and so now we start again. And so I've been announcing in the last few months as I started doing the monthly update, that I think this is what the Father was telling me to do, is to begin and go through the renewed covenant and just take it. Originally I thought, well, I'll break it up into a 52-week cycle, and then I said no, we're just going to open it. We're going to start to teach through it from a Torah basis. And so I received a few emails and comments, and people said, well, are you still going to be teaching Torah? Yes. Let me go into that just for a moment. See, our thought processes as humans, we normally want to divide things. You know, the Almighty, He brings it together. Remember in the Shema, it says He is Echad. He is one. And to me, I think that as I try to think in those terms of he's always about one, that it keeps me from going off into all kinds of different directions. He has one family. He has one set of rules. He has he has one family. It's called Israel. He said he has one set of rules. It's called the Torah. And we have one destination. It's going to be in Jerusalem, in Israel. And it's going to be a time called the millennium. Man desires to split things up into, well, are you going to be teaching the written Torah or about the living Torah? Now, this goes back to the title that I came up with 7 years ago when I started teaching living Torah. And there has been people through the years that thought, well, okay, you're teaching how to live Torah. No, that wasn't the purpose, though that was the sideline. But my purpose in teaching through the written Torah was to see the living Torah, Yeshua, in the midst of it. And so that's what we're going to continue to do in opening the book of Matthew next week. We're going to teach about the living Torah, Yeshua. And so, will I still be teaching Torah? Yes, I will. In fact, what some people need to do in the process, in this next week, is circumcise your Bibles. Let's get this thing of old and new, okay? We got the old over here, we got the new over here. Let's get that out of our minds before we get into the book of Matthew. You know, here's the center section, the center of mine. This is, of course, Complete Jewish Bible has a little bit different as far as the order because it goes from 2 Chronicles and then goes over to Matthew. Other translations have it where you're going from Malachi over to Matthew. Now, I want to suggest, some of you have already done this, that if you have a page between these two books right here, that you need to circumcise your Bible. You need to pull that out. And I've had people, I have a whole collection of center pages that people, I've heard that when I teach about this, I hear people going, rip, and they hand them to me. So I have a whole collection of these. As people have said, okay, that page was not put in there by the Almighty. That page was put in there by man. And so rip that out, to where we can see this as one book. And so as I start in Matthew and go all the way through to Revelation, we're going to be teaching about the whole book, but from the perspective of one of the writers, remembering that it is one book, one family, one set of rules, and one destination. If we were to go back this week to kind of give you a little bit more background of what we're going to be attempting to do, in these, as we go through this, is a few weeks ago, two, three weeks ago now, we began again with the Torah cycle. And I'll have a little bit more to say about that in a few minutes. We began again in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, with a word in Hebrew, or in English, in the beginning. And the word beginning there is the word in Hebrew, Bereshit. And Bereshit begins with the Hebrew letter Bet, which many of you have been studying the Hebrew alphabet. This is very simplistic for you, but I'm going to go through it. We have a lot of new people right now. There's so many people I'm getting emails from and calls from that are brand new in this. And so we're going to be doing this from a very foundational level. For those that know a little bit more, it doesn't hurt you to go back and be reminded of some of the foundations that we need to never allow ourselves to depart from. So, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we would see a bet. You can go on your computer, you can look, and you can see what a bet looks like. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it is an enlarged bet. So it's larger than the other letters, which means there's something about this letter. Now, in Hebraic thought, the word bet, as if we look back to the Paleo-Hebrew, and actually I do have, I've got a copy of this, I don't know if you can see this real well. You can copy this from our website, you can go on there. But you'll see the second letter right here is the letter bet, and it stands for a tent or a house. And so, as the book of Genesis begins with the letter for a house, That means that everything that follows is about a house. Everything in Genesis, through the whole Torah, through the prophets, through the renewed covenant, everything goes back to and is coming out of this house. Now, there's two things about a house that are very important. First of all, we have the structure of the house. It's what holds the house together. We have, you know, in our modern vernacular, we have 2x4s, we have windows, and we have floor joists, and we have roof trusses, and we have shingles or metal and all of these different things that is holding the house together. We then put things into the house, the furnishings, the pictures, the paintings, the carpeting, the tile on the floor, the countertops, the appliances, all of those things go into the structure of the house. Now, I brought this out, and for those of you that were with us at Sukkot, you can fast forward through this or you can listen to it again. If I want to know something about a person, if I want to know something about you, and I'm not allowed to ask you a question, I'm not allowed to ask any of your friends a question, I'm not allowed to email or do any of those things, you're not allowed to say anything, nor are you allowed to do anything. You just got to sit, and I have to sit, and we have to silently, without ever saying anything or even really doing anything, I want to find out something about you. I want to find out about who you are and about your life. How can I do that? It's very simple, actually, as I go to your house. Because when I walk in your house and start looking around, I can see a lot about who you are as a person. A number of years ago in Tucson, Arizona, I owned a carpet cleaning company. And I don't know what it is about people with carpet cleaners, but they just kind of, you know, they invite somebody they don't know into their house and just open the door and say, go do whatever you do, clean the carpets for me, and, hand me a bill at the end. Well, I could go all over the house, really. You know, I had to open closets and clean inside those closets the best I could. And, kind of get up under people's beds a little bit. Sometimes I have to move some furniture. And you never know what's going to be, literally, you never know what's going to be under that couch. And so the moral of the story is this, that through being in that person's house, I really could get to know the person without them ever saying a word to me. Somewhere along the way, somebody from the United Methodist Church, in one of the secretaries, I did an apartment for her, and she was very impressed with the way I did it. So I ended up doing all the pastors and the high up leaders and stuff for the United Methodist Church. So I got to go in their houses. I got to go back into the kids' bedrooms and to just all over the house, and, you know, without snooping around, but you're just, you know, you're working, you just see things. I could see what music they're listening to. I could see what books they're reading. And by the time I left the house, I tell you what, I had a pretty good idea of who the person in the house was. So the Torah, if we look at it this way, the written Torah is about the house. It is about the person in the house. Okay? It is through the written Torah we start to see the 2x4s, what's holding the house together. We start to see the things, the furnishings of the house. And in fact, in Leviticus, you know, chapter 11, we even see what the person of the house likes to eat. And what the person of the house doesn't like to eat. We see what this person in the house that is dwelling in the house. We start to see their likes and dislikes. We start to see that they don't like trees being cut down and brought into the house and decorated with gold and silver. Instead, they like to, at one time of the year, go outside of the house and spend some time with their creation. This is a person that's dwelling in the house that knows what he likes to eat and what he doesn't like to eat. It's a person that knows how to deal with his neighbors very well. So within the confines of the written Torah, we're actually looking at the structure of the house, and we're also looking at the likes and dislikes of the person in the house. But in this Hebraic message, this of Torah pursuant, Torah observant people, whatever you want to call the Hebraic movement, the Messianic movement, whatever it is, there has been, I have seen, a tendency through these years to dwell upon the things of the house, the furnishings of the house, the documents of the house, and sometimes forget about the person in the house, the person of Messiah, the one who dwells in the house. So one of the things that I want to do as my desire in the next however long is going to be through the Gospels and then through the book of Acts and the other books that make up the renewed covenant, that we want to never disregard the house, never disregard the things of the house, but let us focus at the same time on the person who is in the house, the person of the Messiah, Yeshua, who is leading us to the owner of the house, the person of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And for those of you that, let me just kind of toss in right here, there are a number of people out there that would like for me to say His holiest name over the video at all times. I won't be doing that. There will be times that I will use His name. But there are a number, I can tell you, a number of Jewish people through the years that have just kind of tuned in here. And so I'd like to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove in some of the things that we do and how we do it. So I have no problem with somebody using His holiest name. But when I'm referring to the Creator Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, I will probably do it in that manner. If that's offensive, well, this is probably not the video series you want to watch anyway. Okay. So let's go on a little bit in that line of teaching. Because at Sukkota, I was teaching a lot on this. We were actually doing this a little bit about the Hebrew alphabet. And I coined a phrase that just all of a sudden came rolling out of my mouth at Sukkot. And it was this phrase: do not allow the scripture to stand in the way of you seeing the word. Do not allow the scripture to stand in the way of seeing the word or knowing the word. Over the years, again, what I have realized is that many people have gotten so caught up in the written Torah that they've forgotten about the word, the living Torah, the one who is dwelling in that house. Probably from an absolute Torah basis, the best way that I can say it is like this: that in the time of the temple and the tabernacle, there were sacrifices, we know, that were brought in. Now, the Passover sacrifice, it was laid and it was all burnt up, but that was not the case in every sacrifice. The people would bring their sacrifice, they would lay their hands upon the animal, let's say in this instance a small lamb. That lamb would be slain, and it would be skinned, and the meat of the animal was placed upon the altar. Now, a portion of that meat was given for the priests. The other portion of the meat was given for the person who was bringing it to the altar. And it was to be consumed by him and by his family. And so he was, he would raise that lamb, and then at some time he and his family would receive the benefits of the nutrient of eating the meat of that lamb. Now, some of these lambs, it is said, they would take the skin of the lamb, and they would tan that, and they would clean that, and they would cure it however they needed to do, and then they would use that skin as parchment to write the letters of the Torah, to actually write the Torah on that skin and preserving the written Torah itself. Okay, now let's take that to this that I'm trying to illustrate. It would be possible for a person to have raised a lamb, to have gotten to know the lamb, to have been, you know, had his family get to know the lamb, and then to bring that lamb to the priests, to have that lamb slaughtered, its skin turned into the parchment, and the letters of the Torah written on the parchment, but never eat the meat. And doing so would never feel the life of the lamb. They would be so involved in the letters of the parchment, they forgot to eat the meat of the lamb. And in doing so, they never received the nourishment that the meat of the word would bring. I see that in some people today. We get so involved in the letters. And there's nothing wrong with becoming involved in the letters. If you're thinking that I'm speaking of any teacher out there, I'm not. Not at all. I'm just talking about us as a whole, as a people. I don't go on video and start attacking other people specifically. But there's a tendency for us to become so involved in the letters of this Torah that we forget about the person of this Torah, the one who gives us the nourishment by eating of his flesh, as he would tell us later on. And so this is going to be one of my goals, is to not only continue to look at and study the structure of the house, but let's get back to knowing the person in the house. See, Paul would one day say, I know in who I have believed. He didn't say, I know in what I have believed. He knew the person of Yeshua. And we can get so involved in the Torah, in the study of Torah, that we can forget about the person of the Torah. Okay, coming back to one book, one family, one message, one set of rules, one destination. It's all about Him and our relationship with Him. So let's not be the kind of people that allow it to be, he's teaching about the living Torah now. He's not going to be teaching about the Torah. Yes. To illustrate this of how man has this crazy habit of dividing things, I saw and was reminded of it yesterday as I was driving back from Florida. There's a billboard. I've seen through the years thousands of stupid billboards. But this one, I won't call it stupid. It grieved me to see it. The billboard basically had two. It was one message, but it had two parts. Of course, man has to divide everything. Over on this side, it had a cross, and it had a word above and below the cross. The word was grace and salvation. No, it was grace and blessing. I'm sorry. I meant to stop and take a picture. Over here where the cross is, it had grace and blessing. And then it had the verses, in the center. And on the other side, it had a representation of the Ten Commandments. Above that and below that, the words were performance, cursing. And at the bottom it said, the choice is yours. So in these people's minds, to follow the cross, I guess that's what they're trying to say, it is going to be grace, and it is going to be blessing. But if we have anything to do with the Ten Commandments, he wasn't talking about the 613. He was talking about they're depicting the Ten Commandments. If we have anything to do with the Ten Commandments, it's about performance. And it's about cursing. You mean to tell me that if I look to the Ten Commandments and say, "You shall not steal," that it's going to be curses in my life? It didn't even make sense. But folks, this is the attitude of people when we divide things. I was sitting, of all places, Sunday morning. I went to Sunday school. I didn't stay for church. They were having communion, and I just didn't want to get through that. I'd go have to explain Passover and everything. So I went to Sunday school class, and just, I don't know why, I just did. And in there, of course, you know, they're talking about Romans, but they had to say something. One of the guys said something about, well, you know, in the New Testament we have grace. And, of course, we were talking the day before in a Shabbat service that I was, a Shabbat Midrash that I was a part of. We were talking about Noah, and I said, I just kind of blurted out. I said, well, you know, the scripture says that Noah found grace, and that was in the Old Testament. Well, my words kind of came out, dropped to the floor, and we went on in our studies. All right. This thing of one is going to be a theme that we're going to deal with throughout our studies as we go through it. That as we're talking about the Gospels, we're also talking about the Torah. And, you know, the written Torah. As we're talking about the living Torah, we're talking about the written Torah. As we're talking about the written Torah, we're talking about the living Torah. And so that is not going to change in any way. We're going to treat this not as the Old Testament, New Testament, but as the source of the covenant and the renewal of the covenant. Now, we know that through Ephesians and various places that the covenant was only given to a people of faith. The covenant is broken down into various aspects. We've seen in the last couple of Torah portions, we've seen the covenant that the Almighty made with Adam, the Adamic covenant, which was one of faith and obedience in the end. Last week we saw that he made a covenant with Noah. We're going to see in these Torah portions how he made a covenant with Abraham. Each one of these covenants, It's not a different message, but it's part of one message, one covenant. And we're going to be talking now about the renewal of the covenant. It's not renewed to the Gentiles because the Gentiles never had a covenant. You got to be in the covenant before you can have a renewed covenant. It's only being renewed to Israel for those who would receive it. And we're going to be studying that out as we go through in these weeks. We're going to be talking about it when we go over to Romans and talking about the grafted in and various other places. So I'm really I'm excited to get started in this next week. It's going to be an interesting one. Now, we're going to start next week in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Bezrat Hashem, God willing. And we're going to then go, you know, from Matthew, we'll go to Mark, then we'll go to Luke, then we'll go to John. And these are four personalities we're going to see. We're going to be going through. The first one's going to be Matthew, the tax collector. And, you know, he's the numbers guy. You know, he's the one that probably not, if you've ever met a CPA or somebody like that, they're normally, not always, but they're normally not real personality driven. You know, they're not real social butterflies. They would just as soon sit somewhere with a calculator and figure things out. And we're going to see who better to write the book of Matthew than Matthew the tax collector. Because he would be the guy that would be involved in wanting to deal with genealogies and things like this. And so it's going to be an interesting thing to go through. Lastly, and then I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. And like I say, God willing, we'll get into it next week. This is just a little intro, give you something to think about through the week. I'm also going to be writing as I have done this week's will be on Abraham, but I'm also going to be writing as I do the video in the renewed covenant. I'm also going to be writing a Torah commentary, as I've done for 7 years, from the Torah cycle. But it's going to be a little different than the way that I've done it in the past. This is something I think that is what I'm feeling that the Almighty is directing me to do. And so far, I don't know about you, but I'm having a great time with it. I'm going to go back and write a Torah commentary in this basis for the for Parashah 1, Bereshit, here in the next couple weeks, and I'll have that up on the internet, and I'll let you know when it is there so you can read it if you'd like. But it's my desire this year to go through and write the Torah commentary in a first person. And I've already done that in Noah last week, and Matthew, and the one of Abraham, starting in Genesis chapter 12, is on the website right now. It's on the same newsletter that announces this video. And so I'm going to do that from a kind of a first person. One of the things that I've always liked to do through the years since I came to Messiah was to put myself into the Scripture. I think so much is missing because we start to see the black and white words and we miss the fact that these are real people with real lives and real emotions, and they're just like you and I. They go through the same struggles that we go through, the same struggles with faith and with life and everything that goes along with that. And so what I'm going to try to do through this first person, writing in first person, is to bring these people alive and let us see how they were dealing with some of this as they were trying to the best of their ability to follow their Creator. So I think over to Leviticus. Okay, how are we going to do that? I have some ideas. We'll see. We'll see when we get there. So that's kind of a synopsis. I need another good night's sleep. Too many miles, too much emotion in a few days. It's been quite a time. But that's a little bit of a synopsis, an update of what we're going to be doing as we come into this time. And I really urge you to read along. Just, you know, have your Scripture there with you. If you have questions as we're going through and you see that I'm getting close to a Scripture, you have a question about it, please feel free to email me. We'll try to deal with that as I go through it. And keep up with the Torah cycle at the same time as we go through. So with that, once again, thank you so much to those who have partnered with us for the last year, specifically that have stood with us as I took some time off. I pray that in the end it's going to be worth it for you to have supported us so that we can be here in the coming year. And as long as I feel the Almighty is leading us to continue this, for those of you that have never supported us, I'd like you to pray about it. We could use your support right now as I'm looking at different things to do with this video and the different avenues that I have. Some of them are more expensive than others, but we're going to try to do the best we can without. I try to get the most that we can for the money that we spend in things. I try to get the best quality that I possibly can. So a lot of that will depend on you. So with that, Shavua Tov, have a wonderful and blessed week. And like I said, if you have questions along the way, please email me. I do respond to my emails. All right, see you next week.
Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha. Yasem Lecha Shalom.